We came here, our first Sunday here was June 12th, I think 2011.
I think that's right.
And so, man, I cannot tell you how all the good things God has done in our family's lives and how you all have blessed our lives so abundantly. We thank you for allowing us to serve with you, alongside you. Happy Father's Day. Thanks for staying. I mean that. Thanks for staying. Fathers today have quite a task in front of them, and it's an honor to be a father today, and I'm honored to be a father. Today I want to, I just wanted to give, if you got your outline's handy. What you'll see on the outline here is three things, just three practical things. I just thought I'd jot these down, just something for dads to do that will bless your children. Write a letter to your child at every birthday saying how you feel about them. I know some dads that do this. This is a great way, great thing for your child to keep. Secondly, speak a blessing on their birthday saying what strengths you think they have and pray over them. That's something that Sarah and I, we have done with Sarah since she was a little girl. It's a real honor to do that. And this last one, keep a diary of the significant moments of their lives, things they said, they did, and later give it to them as a gift. And this is, Sarah already knows this, but this is something I've been doing since even before she was born. And I want to encourage a lot of the newer dads, this is a great thing to do for your child. And because you often forget stuff that your kid does and says, and it's great to have it written down. So you're like, oh yeah, I remember when she said that or did that. It makes it very meaningful. When you hear the word father, what do you think about? I mean, for everybody in this room, I guarantee you, some of us have very positive images when we hear the name father, and some of us have very negative. We had a very negative upbringing. And we think very negatively when we hear the name father. And whether we realize it or not, we are affected by our view of our earthly dads affects how we see our heavenly Father in so many ways. Everything about our lives, our attitudes, motives, desires, actions, and even our words is determined and influenced by our view of God. We can trace most of our human problems and fears to a faulty view of God. How do you see God? How do you view Him? See, your father, your earthly father, affects how you see your heavenly Father in so many ways. Mother's Day, you know, we're great on showing mom's appreciation, and you know, on Father's Day, we like to beat the dads up, right? That's how it normally goes, right? We're not going to do that today. Today, we're going to talk about the father heart of God. This is a message for everybody. And by doing that, we're going to clear up, I think, some misunderstandings, because how you see God is so important to your faith. If you see God in a very negative light, it's going to be very hard to serve Him and love Him. We're going to correct some misunderstandings I think a lot of us have about God today. So let's pray as we begin. Let's all stand for prayer. Do something a little different today. I want you to join me in this prayer, okay? You ready? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's pray together. Father, we join with you, with Apostle Paul this morning, and pray that you may open the eyes of our hearts, we may know you better, help us grasp how wide and long and high and deep is your love for us. We ask that your Holy Spirit correct any misunderstandings of you today that we have. In Jesus' name, and the church said,
amen.
Amen. Have a seat. What are some wrong images when you see God, when you picture God in your mind? And I'm not saying that we can image out of God. I'm not saying that. But we all have a picture of how we see God. What are some wrong images of God that people have? Well, the first one is obvious, the overly demanding, strict God, okay? They see God as a demanding father who you cannot do enough and you cannot please him enough, and he's overly strict with you. And I find it amazing that a lot of people see the Old Testament and the New Testament as two different gods. They'll say the Old Testament's a God of wrath, while the New Testament's a God of love. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, because God doesn't change. God is a God of wrath and love in the Old Testament as much as he is as a God of wrath and love in the New Testament. And I think that is important to understand. But the point, an image that, a wrong image that a lot of people have is that God is this demanding, strict father who is looking down on, you cannot do anything right, he's waiting for us to make a mistake so he can punish us. Reminds me of this passage in Ephesians 6 about fathers do not provoke, and the NIV has the word exasperate, which basically means don't be unreasonable, overly strict, don't break the spirit of your children. Provoke them to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. He's not saying don't discipline your children. Discipline is more about instruction than anything else, instructing kids in the right way. But he's saying do not be overly strict, okay? Because when we reflect that to our children, that's how they're going to see God, when we are overly strict. This is how the Lord is described. Not as overly strict. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Overly strict, demanding, I don't see it in the text. Compassionate, yes. Gracious, slow to anger. A God who does not treat us as our sins deserve, a God of mercy. That's how God wants you today to see him. Not as overly strict. Another wrong image of God is he's emotionally distant and uncaring. You know, God's got too many things going on in the universe, doesn't have time for you. You know, he's got too many things going on, so he's uncaring. A lot of people see God in that light. This is, in fact, a very common view in Africa of God. God is distant. He doesn't care about my life. But the reality of the text says in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The God of this universe cares about our lives. And if we as sinful men care about our children, how much more does God, who is perfect and without sin, care about us? Many of you have seen the movie Field of Dreams. It came out many, many years ago. It's starring Kevin Costner. It's a powerful movie. And a lot of people think the movie is about, you know, baseball. You know the story, you know, he hears this voice that tells him to build a baseball field. And what he says, and this is the most misquoted line of this movie, build it and he will come. We usually say build it and they will come. No, the actual line in the movie is build it and he will come. The movie has nothing to do with baseball. It has everything to do with the reconciliation of a father and a son. And what's powerful in the movie is the son and the Kevin Costner and his dad, that in that picture there, are the ones that reconcile in the end. They had a very difficult relationship. And every man I know that has seen that movie cannot watch that movie without getting all teary-eyed, because deep down in the hearts of every man in this room, every woman in this room, we want to be pleasing to our fathers. We want them to accept us. And when there is friction, and when there's a problem relationship, and when there's a negative relationship, it affects our lives. Makes a lot of men workaholics. It ruins their next marriage. There's so many side effects that happen to us. We don't realize that we are influencing the next generation that is coming behind us. But that movie is a powerful reminder that God is in the reconciling business, and he is not emotionally distant from us. Look at this text here, one of my favorite texts. You have searched me, Lord, And you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. The fact of the matter is, God is definitely not distant. He knows you better than you know yourself. And if God is that intimately acquainted with us, how He desires us for us to know Him in the same way. That's our task in this life. Why are you here on this earth? To make a bunch of money? We're here to know God, to love God. It's going to take all of eternity to know Him. He's so awesome. Another wrong image of God is he's unreliable. He's weak. He cannot help any of us. A lot of us have seen this where we have prayed and we prayed for example, somebody wanting to be healed. And God didn't come through the way we wanted Him to come through. So now we see Him as unreliable. We treat prayer as manipulation instead of entrusting the outcome to the Father who does know what is best. But that's a wrong image of God. Unreliable. The fact of the matter is, God is all-powerful. And we talked about a month ago about the awesome glory of God, regaining back our awe of God, and we looked at the Sombrero Galaxy, 28 million light years away. Beautiful, beautiful galaxy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host, by the breath of His mouth. God is anything but... God is all-powerful. He is reliable. He is faithful to all of His promises. Another wrong image of God is He's the one that abandons us and gives up on us when we fail. We think, man, I've messed up. I have gone too far. God is going to leave me. He's going to abandon me. This is a view I've often held in my own life. And we think God is in that same line. Did you know God has a tattoo? Did you know God has a tattoo? You're all looking at me like I'm crazy. It's a passage in Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. That is how well the God of this universe knows you. He says, yeah, a mother cannot forget the baby at her breast, but even if she does forget, I will not forget you. And maybe you had a mother or a father growing up and they were abandoned you and they forgot you, but God is wanting you to know today, I have not forgotten you. The whole world may forget, I remember you. You're important to me. You're important to me. Here are the lies that we believe, and they often come in with five words. We think God is going to abandon us when we fail. Here's one of the lies we believe. It's too late for you. You won't change your ways. Can't you do anything right? You have wasted your life. You are just like your father, just like your mother, just like your family. Here are the five words of promises that God says to you today. I will be with you. I will never leave or forsake you. Never will I forsake you. Never will I leave you. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's the promises God wants you to carry today. When you feel like you've abandoned, when you feel like you've messed up, when you feel like you have failed, the God of this universe says there is no sin too strong for the blood of Christ to wash your sins away. And I absolutely love that painting. I don't know who did it, but man, that speaks volumes to me. Because that is who is holding us up when we fail. When we are holding the hammer and the nail. You see the guy holding the hammer and the nail? That's who holds us up when we fail. Is the Lord Himself. So how do we correct our wrong images of God? We simply take the truth of Scripture. We take the truth of Scripture. God is a tender shepherd. Say it with me. God is a tender shepherd. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and he rules with a mighty arm. You saw his power in the sombrero galaxy. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. Look at the imagery. He gently leads those who have young. I like to think that God is very gentle with families that have children, new babies, because it's a very vulnerable time for a family. And I like to think that he's very gentle with them. I love the imagery, don't you? He gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them close to his heart. He's a shepherd. Secondly, God says, call me Abba. Call me Daddy, Aramaic for Daddy, because I love you so much that I cannot take my eyes off of you. See, people have this view. They think God is like Big Brother watching you, and boy, I can't wait for you to make a mistake so I can send you to hell. On the contrary, it is a God who absolutely adores you, and I cannot keep my eyes off of you. And every father will testify here today. When your child was born, you could not take your eyes off your child. You were just so enamored with that child. And how much more God, who is without sin, who is perfect love, the God who adores you. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Daddy. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. That's how intimate a relationship God wants you to have. That's the image He wants you to have of Him. A daddy that you can sit in His lap. That intimate. Because you're adopted. You've been adopted into the kingdom of... You are an adopted son or daughter of the King. You have the same inheritance rights that Jesus Christ does. Doesn't that blow you away? It should. God, thirdly, is a compassionate Father. And to me, this is the pinnacle. If this is the image that Jesus wants me to have of His Father, this is it. The compassionate Father. We know the story. We've heard the story of the prodigal son. I want to tell you today, it's not about a prodigal son. And it should not be called the prodigal son. You want to know why? The story is about who the Father is. It's about the Father. It's not about the son. And we know the story. The youngest son comes and says, give me my inheritance. I don't want to wait till you die. I want my money now. And the father gives it to him. The son squanders his life with prostitutes and wild living. And he ends up in a pig pen, longing to eat what the pigs are eating. And I think about my life. I think about some of our lives in this room. We have gotten to that point for a lot of us. We've gotten into the pig pen. And we start rehearsing the speech, you know. He suddenly realizes, you know, I need to get my life right with the Father. I'm going to set out and go back to my Father and say to Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. You know the story. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He saw him. He was filled with compassion. He ran to his son. His son didn't come to him. He went to him. He's already forgiven. And he threw his arms around him and kissed him, welcomed him. Jesus says, that's the image I want you to have of my Father. He's not demanding. He's not strict. He is a compassionate Father. And whether you've had a compassionate Father growing up, that's one thing. Maybe you didn't have one. But this is your Father. This is the image that God wants you to have of Him. Not your earthly dad. To be compassionate means to see things from the other person's perspective and to respond in love. Joel, can I have your glasses, please? I have Joel's glasses. Now I'm seeing things through Joel's eyes. I'm being compassionate because now I'm seeing things through his perspective and not my own. Compassion's not just saying, oh, I feel sorry for those homeless people there. It is actually doing something about it. Compassion is love in action. Say that with me. Compassion is love in action. What is compassion?
Love in
action. All right. Men, do our wives and our children know us for our compassion? Do they know that we're seeking to see things from their perspective? How does a man show compassion? I think it begins with seeking to understand feelings. Seeking to understand your spouse's perspective. Seeking to understand your child's perspective. I don't know about you, but I struggle with, as a man, I want to fix the problem. I want to get in there and let's get the problem fixed and let's move on. Rather than listening and saying, let's listen to find out what the problem is first. Let's listen to be a little more compassionate and maybe find out what's going on here. But spending quality time, hugs, touch, tone of voice, those are all important things to show compassion today. In Luke 15, the father feels his son's pain. I never realized this until I read it this week. I was thinking to myself, that's exactly what the father's doing here. The text says he was filled with compassion. He saw his son in a distance and he thought, I am in pain for my son. He has been separated from me. He has lived a sinful life. But he's already forgiven him. And the son says to his father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And I love, he just totally ignores it and says, quick, bring the robe. Bring the fatted calf. Bring everything. We're going to celebrate. Because my son was dead and now he is alive again. That is the father heart of God. He wants to embrace us. He wants us to come home to him. He says, whatever you have done, I want you to return to me. I will embrace you. I will forgive you. There is no sin that is too strong for me to forgive this day. And I don't care whatever you've done today, God will wash your sins away. He will cleanse you. He gave him a robe. He gave him a ring. Gave him shoes. In Jewish culture, that means acceptance. He's accepted you. And do you realize that if you are in Christ today, if you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, and you're putting your trust in Jesus, you're following him you are pleasing to God. He accepts you. He accepts you because of Jesus, because of the cross. You're right with God because of the cross of Christ. And therefore, he accepts you. So Jesus tells us this story because we have so many wrong views of God. I want you to think of him in this way, he says. God is not demanding and strict. God is not emotionally distant. He is not unreliable and uncaring about your life. He will not abandon you when you fail, but God is accepting and will hold us up when we fail, loving toward us. He's a tender shepherd. He is a God who wants us to call him daddy. That just blows me away. And a God who is compassionate. And he's written a love letter to you that we're going to watch here as we close today.
Words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter. to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God.
To know where you can get that, that's on YouTube, and on your outline, it's called A Father's Love Letter. It's very popular. As we close today, Maybe you're thinking about you need to get your life right with God today. What do the Scriptures teach us? Very simply, a few things that you need to do to get your life right with God. First of all, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you ready to put your trust in Jesus to save you from your sins? Because we all are lost. We cannot save ourselves. We can never do enough in this life. But Jesus did enough on the cross. Thirdly, are you ready to change your ways? What repentance means to stop going your way, which is what sin is, and make a 180 and begin going God's way in your life. I have found in the last 24 years it is the greatest journey that a human being can ever go on. And that is to be on the journey of following Jesus Christ. Because He not only transforms your life and gives you hope, He gives you the hope of heaven. He uses you here on this earth to bring hope and encouragement to so many people around you that need love. Baptism is where we begin our walk with God, where you can express your faith in Christ and have your sins washed away and begin that walk with Christ. Maybe today you're ready to do that, and we have a baptistry over here. We'd be glad to baptize you into Christ today. You don't have to come forward today. If you want to talk to us afterwards, that's fine. Maybe today you just need prayer, and I want to encourage you, if you just need prayer today, you're going through some tough times, our shepherds are available up here if you want to come to them after the service, or if you want to come during the song here. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we stand and sing.
I worship you all.